No promises.
Welcome in to our another candidate interview here. Let me try that again. Welcome into another candidate interview here on News Radio KMAN. Today we are chatting with Senator Tom Hawk from District 22 in the Kansas Legislature. Tom, it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Brandon, likewise on my part. Good to be here.
Well, obviously the election just around the corner. We're doing these candidate interviews to keep people a little bit better informed about who is on the ballot. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run again here for this position.
Well, I grew up in Western Kansas, and I've been in Manhattan over 50 years, came to K-State. I got involved in student government at K-State and was vice chair of student senate. And after that, when I graduated, I took a job as a math teacher at Manhattan Junior High School and started teaching algebra. And then I became a counselor and eventually moved up to a curriculum job and then associate superintendent and retired after 33 years as superintendent of schools. I was always involved, and I believe a person needs to take their turn involved in whatever their governance structure is. So I was involved as state president of the curriculum directors and state president of the United School Administrators, which was all of the superintendents, principals, special ed directors, et cetera. And then after I retired, I got involved as state president of AARP for a year and then ran for the House and wound up getting elected eventually to three terms in the House. And I just found out that I really like learning about how our state government operates and all the different businesses and so on in the public-private relationship operate, and have gotten very invested in trying to make sure Kansas moves forward. Manhattan has always been a strength because of K-State and Fort Riley and our small businesses and farmers, and I just feel like I've worked my way up and got the knowledge to do it. And then all of a sudden, here we are in the middle of a pandemic, and I actually thought about maybe this would be a good year to retire, and then the pandemic hit, and I felt like what I know about the state budget and all of the different components of our government and how it operates, that my mother always said, don't be a quitter, always finish your job, and I felt like I needed to finish this job, so here we are in another election.
All right. Well, obviously COVID-19 is impacting everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're rich, poor, and it's caused us to have some discussions about some of the immediate and long-term needs here of taxpayers. And I was kind of curious kind of what your thoughts are on first the immediate needs and then maybe the long-term needs as we look to restore our economy.
Well, I think the economy is a really important part, but so is the health and safety of every citizen in Kansas, and particularly in our area. And so we have to balance those two. I was appointed by the governor to be on her SPARK committee. That's the one our own Lyle Butler chairs. And so the SPARK committee is strengthening people and revitalizing Kansas. And it's deciding how best to spend the $1.25 billion that the federal government has set down, called the CARES money. And we started meeting in June on that. And we've had about 10 or 12 different meetings. I think the executive committee's had about 14. And then the State Finance Council approves that. So I think there are just a lot of critical parts to that. And I've been very pleased. And, one of the key parts is keeping as many of our businesses viable as possible. And I think we've been able to do that. Not only with the CARES money have we sent out to businesses, but the federal government has sent out about $6 billion that has gone to businesses. And the states received over $13 billion total. I think that includes the CARES money that we're allocating. Some of the things that I felt were really important was our nursing homes. That's where we were having most of our deaths and our serious illnesses initially. And we needed to be able to keep our nursing homes functional, get the testing supplies and the PPE equipment to them. Also got very concerned about higher ed. We had some money that came in that went to higher ed. Another piece of that, we sent $400 million out directly to the counties. And I still believe that government is best closest to the people. So our counties can make some of those decisions. They could shore up their health departments. The things that we have most recently looked at is broadband expansion, because the more people have to telecommute, we need to actually, and have needed to do this before the pandemic, really focus on broadband. And that $60 million, I think, will help give us a running head start for recovery. Most every business and government institution, and even people working out of their homes, need to have better broadband connectivity all over the state. And then we found out that the testing is a major issue, and we need to be able to turn those testings around. In fact, I just got a call today from a local business that wants to make sure they have testing so it doesn't shut their business down because of an employee being identified as positive, and how many other employees do we have to quarantine. If you have to wait 2, 3, 4 days to get a test, you can't keep your business going. So that's been a critical part of what we need to do. And then finally, our schools, our public schools, have had mixed reviews about how many days they ought to be back, and the staff needs to be safe, but so do the students. So what do we do on the days they're not in session? And we made a big effort to put about $40 million of the CARES money into childcare. So that's just a few of the things that I think I've been able to focus on and hopefully help make sure that we're getting the right priorities out there. And obviously, we need to keep our businesses open and safe, because that's not only their success, but it's also state revenue that comes in that we need to keep our budget at the state level balanced.
With the education component of this whole thing, I know for years you guys in the legislature have worked to get funding up to par here with what the Supreme Court weighed in on it, what the funding formula should be. We hit a pandemic here, and we're going to see probably revenues take a big hit. We already are seeing that a little bit. What's next here for the education here as you go forward? Should you be reelected, what would you like to see happen with their budgets?
Well, I would like to see us keep that as a priority, as well as K-State and higher education. I think we made a big mistake in the 2008 recession with the Brownback tax experiment, where he gave money, tax breaks, to a lot of the small and very large businesses, where those businesses weren't paying any income tax, but the employees were. It was unfair, but it also pushed our state economy as well as our state budget into the hole. It was a disaster. So I think we have to be careful not to make the same mistake. We don't know really what the impact is going to be on the state budget. Some people are predicting a huge hole of $1 billion to $1.5 billion. The governor did about $700 million of allotments, and I don't think those, she believes strongly in protecting our highway plan and public education and higher education. And so we're not seeing that yet. And actually our revenues, because we got the streamlined sales tax for internet sales in, and that largely that was, again, Governor Kelly's initiative to get that, our revenues have been higher than was predicted. We do a special, what's called consensus revenue estimation, in November, and I think we'll all have a better idea of what we're looking at. And then when the legislature comes into session in January, that's certainly gonna be one of my priorities. I'm the ranking member on the Senate Budget Committee, Ways and Means, and we have some very good, good minds on that. There are three of us that work very closely together as a conference committee. And I think we'll do our diligence to set priorities and pick the essential things. And I think all of us want to protect public education if that's at all possible. Plus my own personal thing, K-State's a critical part of our Manhattan economy, as is Fort Riley and our small businesses. So I'm still going to remain optimistic until I get worse news. And then we'll have to make the very best decisions we can make then.
All right. Well, and another big issue is Medicaid expansion, and that's probably going to be another hot topic this year, I would imagine, maybe even more so here given the pandemic. I know you support expansion. Tell us why it's going to be so important going forward.
Well, I think you hit that one very clearly, Brandon. Expansion is important to keep our rural hospitals solvent. We've had a few that have gone under in some places. That's part of the mix, and hospitals can only, they're required to provide service to people that come through the emergency room, so they can only provide so much charitable care, and getting 100,000 Kansans covered. And as you mentioned, the pandemic, we've had more people unemployed. If businesses go out, some people may lose their health insurance. So either they need to get signed on with the Affordable Care Act, or we're going to need Medicaid expansion. There's some debate, and I think my opponent has made a comment that we really can't afford to do it. The Kansas Hospital Association came up with a plan, and their belief is that it would actually help our state economy and would be revenue neutral. And I tend to trust their figures at this point. We may have to re-look at that in light of the pandemic, but we certainly need to be able to take care of people's health. And as people get sick, and particularly if they get sick with COVID and rack up some bills, we need to not put people into bankruptcy because of that. And we need to make sure that we're containing the virus by providing the care so that they're not spreaders.
All right. Again, we're speaking with Senator Tom Hawk, a candidate here for re-election November 3rd. He's in the 22nd district. Obviously, with shortfalls, there's a lot of debate on how to deal with that, whether you make cuts or you have tax increases. Do you support any tax increases right now, given the current status of everything?
I do not. I don't think we can actually increase taxes when we're potentially in a down economy. Again, we're not going to know till we see what happens with a vaccine, or if we have some treatments that seem to work for everybody and are available to everybody. So I don't see it very likely that a tax increase will solve our problems. I think the key thing is to really watch our spending. We have a couple safety valves. That's the pooled money investment board that was money was taken out of that during the last recession and during the Brownback tax experiment. We've tried to pay that back. So that may be something. One of the other things that money was taken from was the state highway plan. Governor Kelly has been very clear, and I've been on the transportation task force that came up with our new 10-year plan. We may not be able to put as much money into the highway plan, but I'm not sure that's a very wise decision, because that generates 175,000 jobs throughout the state of Kansas. And that's really an important injection for our economy. So I think we're going to have a lot of really in-depth discussions when January comes, both with the governor. I think it's an advantage with me being of the governor's party to be able to work with the governor, her staff, and the agencies. I know all of the people in the agencies, and I think we're going to have to make some real priority decisions and make sure, if though there are spending cuts, which that is very likely, that those don't damage our essential services.
You know, I know a lot of folks are worried about the political divisiveness that's going on, obviously, in Washington, D.C., but even in Topeka, to an extent. How important is it going to be here in this next legislative session for whoever's there to work together?
I think that's what the public expects of us. And I've always been bipartisan. Some of my best friends are people on the other side. That doesn't mean we agree on everything, but I think we're obligated to treat each other well and treat each other with kindness. There's a group of us, in fact, Senator Elaine Bowers of Concordia and I, for the last 4 years, have been trying to get what is called the Legislative Civility Caucus organized. And we finally got some people in the House. Steve Johnson was one of them, Tom Phillips, another one here, and Kathy Wolf Moore. So there's a group of five of us, Democrats and Republicans, that started the Civility Caucus last January. And we had about 50 of our legislators, even on that snow day where legislature wasn't in session, they stayed over. And we had about 10 other legislators from around the country that came in and did a workshop and shared how they had worked together. And we've had about 6 or 8 different meetings, some in person and some on Zoom. And my intention is to continue that. I think when you get to know people on a personal level and you really have an open mind and an open heart and you can listen to what their ideas are, and it's been my experience that everybody has some good truth in their idea. And if you can listen to that, you'll come up with a better policy. So I certainly don't disagree with you that we have high polarization, and certainly happens more in an election year. But I don't think that needs to be the way it is when we get to Topeka in January. I've always said, politics is a team sport, and you have to pick a team if you want to play. But after the election, I think it should be the all-star game, and we ought to all be on the same team. And that's certainly the way I operate in Topeka.
All right. Well, any final thoughts here, Tom? I don't have any other questions.
Well, I know your voters, my voters, the audience of K-Man probably wants to know what the difference is between me and my opponent. And I think my experience experience really does matter. And I certainly have worked very hard for everybody and with everybody in my district. I'm very much a committed public servant. I know there's some ads keep saying we're career politicians. I don't think that's the case. It's a part-time job, and the pay is really low. I do it because I want to create a better state for all the kids in my neighborhood and my own grandkids. And my life has been dedicated to public education, and this was a way that I could contribute it. So I've lived here, and I've paid my taxes here, and I've been engaged in our community for over 50 years, and I've worked my way up to this ranking position on Ways and Means, where I'm at the table to make those big decisions that you asked me about in your interview. And I don't think a new person will be able to do that. They won't have the knowledge, nor will they be in a position to do that. And so I hope the voters will allow me to go back, and I'd certainly want to get us out of this pandemic and get our economy on a good straight path for success for everybody. And Manhattan has been the most wonderful place in the world to live. And my intent is to keep that the case by supporting K-State and making sure Fort Riley stays here and keeping as many of our businesses working in Solvent. Been working on that really hard since March when we closed up the session. I've had lots of calls from businesses and people on unemployment, and I really like and appreciate being able to help people solve their problems. So you always wonder how elections will turn out. I hope it turns out so I can keep contributing. And I thank you so much for your interview and for the work K-Man does in educating our public.
All right. We sure appreciate it. Best of luck to you, Tom. And we'll talk again real soon.
Okay. Thank you, Brandon. Best to you.